Intervju Radija Študent.
Galerija Kapelica danes zvečer vabi v prostore Tobačne 5, kjer se bo Marion Laval-Jeantet spremenila v kentavra. Ne preveč zabavno šalo na stran. Francoski umetnici bo ob 20. uri vbrizgan konjski serum, pri čemer bo sodeloval tudi Benoît Menjean, druga polovica bioartističnega dueta Art Orienté Objet. In kon bo tudi tam. Dvojec Art Orienté Objet se od ustanovitve v 90-ih letih uspešno giblje v poljih bioarta, občasno križanim z body artom. Tako sta sodelovala s številnimi inštituti in razstavljala v mnogih galerijah zvenečih imen. Marion Laval-Jeantet se v njunih projektih bolj izpostavlja, zato je tudi v našem intervjuju prevzela vodilno vlogo. Benoît Menjean, ki z njo sodeluje kot, lahko bi rekli, umetniški vodja, pa je svojo misel dodal tu in tam. Prisluhnite torej pogovoru o tem, zakaj ravno kon, o iskanju meja človeškega in o šamanistični babici.
So you have been taking different horse immunoglobulins for some time now, and as you have said, you are no longer completely human. How are you feeling? Do you feel any changes?
I feel different few days after each injection that I tried already. Then it's very difficult to say about the long-term consequences, because it's each day, I mean, maybe 1 week, after the injection, I have different things happening in my body, like it reacts quite strongly, but then it disappears, because mostly the foreigners agent that you have in your body are just killed by your body. So you don't know after if something will remain from it. But what they know, the doctors, is that you can see what your body met for its entire life. That means if I had those horse immunoglobulins in my body, I will always have the reacting proteins to those immunoglobulins in my body. So I'm forever changed by it. But I don't know, well, when you never really know what will happen with your body, because that's what I was saying yesterday, and the body is it's a case of, comment on dit déjà, c'est homéostasie, c'est ça, non?
Transistasie.
Yeah, transistasie, it's true. Yeah. I mean, transistasie is a state of ever-evolving system, and the human body, any kind of biological body is that way. That means that we have to evolve constantly to get somewhere, I mean, to survive.
Yeah, in immunity and in many other biological fields, there is no what they called homeostasy. That means that when you have a reaction, a disease, an inflammation, or an attack, exterior aggression, when your body is coming back to the equilibrium, it's never the same equilibrium as before. Something changed anyway.
Before we talked about the horse, and I was wondering, how did you choose the horse?
This is easy. At the start of it, I mean, the whole project started with a kind of colloquium, you would say, a kind of seminary conference.
A conference
we had about bio art with different bio artists and Jens Hauser, and we were speaking about the goal of bio art, and we thought that it would be really interesting to show goals that were political or really linked to the universe of anthropological universe as social universe as a human. At this time I thought that we had a very strange way as human to use the nature, and that we decide who should survive or not. And of course we don't know, because we're just a part of it. But we try, for example, to say, okay, panda are important, we should make them survive. And suddenly politics in China just focus on survivor of panda. Uh-huh. And so I say, okay, I should make an action who would be, let the panda live in me. And so I would have panda blood in my blood. And that would show this absurdity of a world where things should survive just through the human. When I say that the problem is that no zoos wanted to give us panda's blood. And finally, at the same time, we were focusing on this getting panda blood and knowing how to make it compatible to the human. And so we went to laboratories and we asked them, is it doable? And they say, yes, maybe, but the way we work is not with panda. We work with usual animals like horse, cows, pig, sheep. And we could do it for you, but you have to choose one of those animals. And we chose the horse because it was, for us, the most mythological. We thought it was quite big and far away from the human in some ways. But at the same time, we have a very sensitive way to feel horses because we ride them, so we have a real contact with them, which is not necessarily true for sheep or pig.
Yeah, it's supposed to be the cute animal.
It's supposed to be human-friendly.
Yeah.
And then there is also a thing, it's obvious that in the former times it exists as an hybridation. I mean, people talked about Centaurus like it exists. Of course, maybe it did not, but the idea of this hybridation is already in our culture. So we thought it's a great thing to imagine being a centaur, virtual or biological centaur.
This interest in animals probably partially originates from your grandmother, who introduced you to the local shamanistic practices and, among other things, showed you the exercise called Dunning the Animals. What was this exercise like and how did your grandmother mark your perception of animals? Because they are a continuing topic of your work. And also in this performance, it's like some identification with the horse.
Well, this is, you know, it's quite weird to tell, but in all the shamanist system, they are very linked to the forest and to places where you have a strong nature place. And they are very old-fashioned things, very much like the African tribes. In fact, there are even some shamanism looking like African system. In those systems, when you are young and you have a peculiar attention to animal, for the rest of the group, it seems that you're not a normal primate. You're not a human. There is something going on with you. And usually in all those systems, it's a way to tell you might be a shaman more than a normal person. And when I was a child, my grandmother immediately saw that I had this concern for animals when I was very young. And then she taught me things without telling me exactly what she taught me. So I thought it was just normal. Except each time an animal was dying, we did a specific ceremony, and then she taught me how to speak with the soul of the dead animal, and she said, if you speak a certain way with this soul, you can have this soul next to you. And so she taught me those things. For me, it was just normal. It was just... And of course, this must have changed the way I was perceiving things around. But at the same time, when I met Benoit, he had no grandmother like that, and he was also very concerned by the feelings of animals. And
with this performance, May the Horse Live in Me, there is also some connotation of something external, which we are often afraid of. And you wrote about his, Benoit's, allergy reaction. And you said that many human beings are often more toxic to themselves than anything foreign could be. Where is the border between foreign, external, and personal in this performance?
Yeah, this is a good question, because in fact, it's true that I have the strong feeling that as being here incarnated on this earth, we are like closed body, but some are very open to the exterior and some are very closed. For example, you have people who are very reactive to the exterior, like allergic, getting lots of infections, being very porous in some way, to take things from the exterior. And some are never sick, very close, very, very hermetical. And I saw that we had this common point of being very sensitive to the exterior. So we were very porous. And so it's always difficult for us to know where are our own borders. And since the body and the mind are not separated at all, it's always interesting too to know what are our borders in terms of mind. You know, finally, art is for us a way to know how far we can be aware of things, and to be aware also of the borders of our mental system, and this is quite simple and difficult to say at the same time. It's like for us, we don't believe there are real frontiers. We think that some people are very conscious of those frontiers, of those borders, and some not. And the wider is your awareness, the less you believe the borders exist. And at a certain point, I needed to know my borders. I always need to know my borders. So I tried different things to know what they are. Especially, you know, as an anthropologist and psychologist, I have people coming to me because they are patient, they are sick, they don't know their borders anymore. And sometimes they just lost their balance. And I have to think, okay, what creative thing can I find to make them balanced again? Is it possible? Is it reversible? Isn't it? So I'm very... I would like to know about those borders. I would like to understand what are the limits. So maybe sometimes we feel like we're going too far, but finally we are more balanced or equilibrate doing it than not. For example, when we went to the Pygmy to be initiated to a very hard system there, which means you will die in some ways. I mean, they give you a kind of wood that make you almost die, and when you are at the borders of death, you are supposed to see lots of things. And this was an extreme way of investigating our mind to understand what were the borders of this mind. And all the work we do has to manage with those things. So, yeah, in fact, it's very important for us to understand if the other does really exist or not. And maybe it does not exist. It's just another way of being built. And you can be exactly like the horse. And maybe the horse is just someone like you that is just in another incarnation. That's what lots of people believe. Like astrologists would tell you that a horse that is born under Gemini has a Gemini mind. And so they don't make separation between human and horses, for example. Yeah, we have a real question with it, which is, okay, where does this other begin? And this is quite vague for us. Since, you know, when you feel a lot of empathy for animals or towards trees or whatever, any kind of existence, you wonder, where are the real borders? It's not obvious for us.
You say that you associate the logic of creativity with the logic of therapy. And you also talk about this in connection with your work Roadkill Code and also May the Horse Live in Me. But I feel that these are two different kinds of therapy. How would you compare them? Are they different or you think they're not?
Well, it's not that different. It's different since, you know, You have two things that are quite common in both of them. If you were looking at artwork today with the same kind of tools that art history gave you, like Shapiro or Panofsky, you would say that there are different levels of understanding. And of course, there is a primary level that would be very easily found, which is a political level or social level. Like if you show a roadkill code, that means a code that has been made with roadkills, it means that you are first showing the way our society just kill the nature by building new roads everywhere. And so this is a very easy first point. And the same with the horse. If I inject myself horse blood serum, for people, it's a way to show that I reject the borders between species, which is, of course, a very political way of seeing things. But then there are more private, personal story things that are going inside. And in this both work, you have the desire of empathy with animals, which is at the same time something that I lived really, and that we lived really as a kind of everyday experience. But also mystical experience in some ways, since it's something that I brought from my roots, and then this gives also a very different efficiency to the work. The work is not only a political announce; it's also something that might have an active point, like this coat could be maybe something I could wear to practice a ritual, and so, oh wow, what is, especially in that coat, is it charged with something? What kind of significance is inside? Does it have a mystical or mysterious connotation? And it has. And the same way, I think that the horse, there is something mysterious going on in my body now, that could be in anybody, I don't know, because we have always reactions to the other in our bodies, except the other usually is just chemicals, but still, we have very strange reactions going on. And so there is a mysterious part of it, and in this mysterious part, there is also the feeling I had that in some ways I could react as an animal, not only mystically speaking, but physiologically, because sometimes when I had those injections, I had hyper reactions of my body, like I was hyper nervous and I felt, oh God, I understand why horses are so nervous and this is so weird to have such a sensitivity in such a big animal. And it's like, okay, you're big, but that doesn't mean you're powerful. That means you can still be shy and frightened, and this is very impressive. Because as human, we feel all those shyness and but also powerful things. I mean, we are very contradictory as human, and those contradictions seem to be even stronger with the horse. And so that makes a lot of relativity between the reality of the way we feel ourselves and the reality of it. I mean, you have animals that are really more contrasted than we are. And so, well, all those things are very interesting to feel. And as I say to Joris recently, it's also changing the work we are imagining after. I mean, this kind of performance or experiment is also changing the way we are thinking about things, and change also the work coming later. So it's changing our mind, and so this is also to be able to go on with art, which is weird, but I mean it's a point to be able to go on with art, that it could still have a sense doing it.
So maybe my last question would be about your working relationship. How did your collaboration affect your art?
Marion was doing art before, and we started discussing a practice, and I came more and more into the practice.
And you were more an art historian, and I came more and more in your theory.
Basically, I define myself at this moment as a sort of impeached artist, rather an aesthete, waiting for someone to give him the possibility to have a shape or to make a shape, because I was not making shapes myself. I'm a bad drawer, I'm a bad painter, but I think basically on the attitude towards life, on the empathy for animals, I think these were some things which were very natural in our lives. So that's also some fields where we could meet very easily. And for example, I remember the works that Marion had done before we worked together. Some of them were more abstract. And as soon the first things we've been doing together were much more incarnated in the way things about animals could touch us. For example, the mother surrogate was immediately on...
In fact, I discovered that as an artist, when you're very young and when you're starting working as an artist, you're just always wondering, how would I say that? You are trying to have a world, a universe, and to transmit it. And it doesn't work because you're not addressing it to people. You're just thinking about yourself. And when I met him, I understood that it would go nowhere because he was asking for something as if he was a viewer. And I thought, okay, the thing I'm doing are much too hermetical. And I have to be more addressing, clearer in my message in some way. And the form should be, the shape should be more clearer too. And so I changed the way I worked because I involved the viewer in this artwork. And as a viewer, it was always telling me, this doesn't work, this works. And finally, it became a part of the process of creating. And I thought it was very important and interesting because this is what was important for us, to make things that would be efficient in some ways.
Intervju Radia Študent.